Thank you very much, Celia, for the beautiful reading. And may I encourage you all to keep your Bible passage open. Before I start, I thought I would share something with you that happened yesterday evening around 6 o'clock. So those of you who don't know, I have a daughter, she's 16, and I was talking to my brother on the phone. Can you hear me well? Great. And she just burst in and said, "Oh, Uncle, just so you know, I'm calling Child Protection for your sister because she hasn't given me dinner." And I'm like, really? If only I knew that word when I was growing up in Ghana. So in 1983, there was a bit of a famine and drought. And so there was hunger season in Ghana, and it was a very difficult time. But thanks be to God, my father at the time was a headmaster of a Roman Catholic grammar school. So being a mission school, we had food shipped from overseas, so we didn't lack much. But people come to the house to get food and things like that. But there was one thing that we didn't have, and that was bread. And most of the time, we have to get up very early at dawn to go and queue up. And you can spend the whole day queuing up just to get bread. And my dad was also the regional director for Teachers Association, NATS. So he traveled to one of the cities and bought this bread that he was going to give it to a friend. And so he hid it. But I found the bread. And I ate it. And you can imagine what happens. If I knew Child Protection then, I would have called one for my dad. And I thought, what did I learn from that? And this passage really rings in for me. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words you have chosen this morning will speak into our hearts and will be pleasing to you, and the hearts that need to be softened to receive it will be attentive for it. And if the words challenge anyone, Lord, may you turn it into encouragement. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start my talk by asking you a question. How many of you have truly been hungry? I mean, really, really hungry, where your stomach rumbles, you can concentrate, all you can think about is food. That physical hunger is something we all understand. But there is another kind of hunger that every single person in this room will experience. A deeper, more unsettling hunger that food cannot quench or touch. It is what I call spiritual hunger that has two dimensions. The first, that is what I call soul hunger, that restless need for meaning and purpose. But underneath that is something deeper that I will call dread of life. That distressing awareness that our days are numbered, that suffering is inevitable, that we are more fragile than we would like to admit. It is the anxiety about whether our life matters. It is the weight of knowing that everyone we love will eventually be gone. It is the question that haunts us in quiet moments. Is God really with us or not? This existential anxiety, this hunger for meaning in the face of mortality. This is what Jesus addressed in our passage we read today from John chapter 6. And it is precisely what Jesus had in mind when he taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Today we will discover that Jesus himself is the daily bread our soul truly needs. So what is the problem with this passage? Seeking bread for our stomach, not our souls. In John chapter 6, verse 25 to 40, we find Jesus confronting a crowd that had been following him for all the wrong reasons. They had witnessed the miracle of loaves and fishes, but they completely missed the point. Jesus calls them out in verse 26. You are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fills of loaves. They wanted bread for their stomachs, not the bread for their souls. They were focused on temporary relief from physical hunger while remaining blind to their deeper spiritual salvation. I hope this sounds familiar, because we do it sometimes or all the time. We come to God when we need something, a job, healing, relationship, or financial security. We treat God like a vendor, divine vendor machine, seeking his hands rather than his heart, wanting his benefit rather than him. Even when we pray, give us today our daily bread. How often do we think only of our physical needs, our circumstances, and our temporary concerns? We are just like the crowd, missing the deeper bread Jesus wants to give us. But here's what Jesus reveals. This approach leaves us always hungry and still overwhelmed by the dread of life. The temporary things we seek from God, even the good things, will never satisfy our deeper hunger of our souls or silence the anxiety that comes from knowing our mortality. We are just like the Israelites on the wilderness, asking, is God really with us or not? Even after witnessing his provision, we want evidence of his presence in our circumstances, but we miss his presence in himself. So you'll be asking, is there a solution? Yes, Jesus himself, the great I am. This is where Jesus dropped one of the most profound statements in all of Scripture. And this can be found in verse 35. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Notice the power of those words. I am. This echoes God's self-revelation to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I am who I am. Jesus isn't just offering to be our provider. He is revealing that he is our provision. He is the eternal, unchanging, life-giving presence of God. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he is addressing our most profound anxiety, the fear of emptiness, the worry about fragility, and the terror of being alone in the undifferent universe. He is saying to us, I am the answer to your existing hunger or your existential hunger. This is what Jesus means by our daily bread. Not just physical sustenance, but himself as our daily spiritual nourishment. He is redefining the very prayer he taught us to pray. Let us see the contrast Jesus draw. Physical bread requires work to obtain it. We labor, we earn money, we buy food, but it is temporary. We eat it, and in a few hours, we are hungry again. More importantly, no amount of physical bread can touch the horror that sometimes wakes us up in the middle of the night, wondering if our life has meaning. Jesus, the spiritual bread, is received not through work, but through faith. I stand here today as a newly ordained deacon. And thank you, Sarah. And one may be asking, so what was your plan? How did it go? I had no plan. This was not part of my dreams. I never wanted to be a vicar. Even at training college, I was finding ways to run off. And I ran and ran and ran, just like Jonah did. But Jesus knew what he wanted to do with me. I'm someone who go food shopping without shopping list. But I had a shopping list, I'm telling Jesus. I'm a woman, I'm black, I'm dyslexic, I can't spell, I can't read. What do you want me for? I gave him all the list of the things that I am not qualified. I remember the very first day that I came here to see Ben. I didn't know him from anywhere. And I got here, and I got to the end, and he was standing in the mirror, and he boomed with this laughter in his face. I'm like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? Then he was like, oh, it's you. I've been praying for you. I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? Then I enter into this space, and I felt the presence of God with me. And just to add a bit more, when I went for my BAP, my process or stages to qualify, I felt this peace and word that I knew it was in the Bible, but the passage just got lost in my head. And all I could hear God say is, abide in me and I'll abide with you. Abide in me and I'll abide with you. And the day I left here after my conversation with Ben going, immediately the passage came to me, John 15. And if you watch my stole closely, that is what I printed in my stole for ordination. And every door that I close, God open and even open more. Yesterday, I got my last essay back, and I got 68. Yes! What am I saying? When we receive him being God, or Jesus, he satisfies everything, not just our hunger, but our deepest fears about life itself. As theologian Fleming Routledge put it, Jesus gave himself to be consumed, not just admired or followed. The bread of life is not a metaphor for inspiration. It is a metaphor for participation. In other words, we don't just look at Jesus from afar. We receive him. This means we live in him, and his life flows through us to the world. Just as Apostle Paul declares in Acts 17:25, that in him we live and move and have our being. The crowd asks Jesus in verse 28, what must we do to be doing the works of God? They were thinking about earning, about working, about proving themselves worthy, just like I was doing. But Jesus answered them in verse 29, and this is groundbreaking. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent. This is the passage addressing our fears. Salvation isn't about what we do for God. It is about what God has done for us. It is not about our work. It is about our faith. Not our performances, trying to earn meaning, but our trust in the one who is. And here is the beautiful heart of God revealed in verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. God's will, His desire, His heart, His mission is that you and I will have eternal life through faith in Jesus. God isn't hesitant to save us from this fear. He is not sitting in heavens with his arms crossed like that and making us jump through hoops to prove our life has value. He wants to save us. The Father sent Jesus specifically so that our deepest existential hunger could be satisfied. I'm sure by now you are thinking, so what's the response? He says, come, believe, being drawn like the tides. So what does Jesus ask of us? I feel it's two simple things that are really one thing. Come to me, believe in me, not work harder to make our life meaningful, but come to me, not be good enough to deserve purpose, but believe in me, not figure out the meaning of existence, but receive what I offer. The invitation is magnificently simple. Come, believe, and receive. But this isn't just about our choice. It is about being drawn. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. The Greek word hilkos suggests attraction, like the moon draws the tides. It speaks of divine pull, calling us beyond ourselves while respecting our freedom. We encounter one of faith's beautiful mystery. God draws us in, yet we must respond. He initiates, yet we choose. This isn't contradiction to solve or a mystery to ponder our hearts around, but it is a mystery actually to embrace. God's sovereign grace and our genuine response work together in ways beyond our full understanding. We are not drawn to an idea or a philosophy. We are drawn to a person, and his name is Jesus, the bread of life, who knows our deepest fear and offers himself as an answer to our hunger, to abide in Christ, to receive him as a bread of life. It is an act of resistance against a culture that tells us that we must create our own meaning, that we must perform to have value, that we must walk this journey alone with our fears and mortality. How does this passage challenge that? Here is how this passage ends, and it is very sobering. Many in the crowd walked away. They had seen Jesus perform miracles. They had heard him teach. They had even eaten the bread he had provided. But when Jesus offered himself, instead of just his benefit, they left. They wanted the bread for their stomach, not the bread for their souls. They wanted temporary relief from physical hunger, but wasn't ready to let Jesus address their most profound fear of life. So the question is, what about us? Will we be like the crowd seeking Jesus only for what he can give us? Or will we come to him for who he is? The great I am, the bread of life, who satisfies our deepest hunger and conquers our deepest fear. Jesus stands before us today with the same invitation. Come, believe, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. As I draw to a close, let me leave you with one practical step. This week, when you pray, give us today our daily bread. Pause and ask Jesus to be your daily bread. Not just for your physical needs, but for your soul's deepest hunger. Start each morning by receiving him afresh as your spiritual nourishment. Let this become your daily rhythm of faith. The one who is, I am, has transformed our immortality into eternity. The question is, will you come? Will you come? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that when you call, you give us a choice. You give us the freedom. Your relationship is always invitational. So this morning, Father God, as you call us upon that waters, help us to run to you, to drink that water that can only quench our fears, our worries, and help us to feed on you because you are the bread of life. You are the one who is I am. You were yesterday, you were today, and you will always be. So Lord, I pray for any heart that needs to be softened, to let go, and to trust on you, and to trust in you, and to feed in you, to know that you are the bread of life. You are the only one who can save. You are the only one who can embrace. You are the only one who can quench all this anxiety that we carry, this culture that imposes things on us and doesn't want to give us the permission to make that choice. You give us the permission to come to you without working for it, because you have done it already, God. You have done it. May you constantly remind us of that, to trust in you, to abide in you. You are the bread of life. As we draw to communion this morning, help us to know that this is not just a symbolism, but it is your bond and your relationship being strengthened and renewed time and time and time again when you feed us and give us that promises that you are the bread of life. Whoever comes to you will have eternal life. Lord, may you do that for us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name I've prayed. Amen.